This is Cross Hope, a daily word of hope and inspiration with Randy Snyder, Senior Minister of Crossview Christian Church. Now, with today's message from Cross Hope, here's Randy Snyder.
Pete says, "This is what shaped my life. This is where God put me in a family of girls, and that impacted my life in a profound way, just as where God placed you in your family, good or bad. Functional, dysfunctional, doesn't matter. God placed you where he did. And God can work in your life, and there's formation that goes on in your life, hopefully for the positive, even out of the negative." And he talks about how his relationships with women, with his wife, his daughters, totally impacted by growing up in a house full of girls. You say, "Well, where are you going with this?" Today we're going to talk about relationships in your life. Second only to your relationship with the Lord is your relationship with your family, your relationship with your circle of influence, with co-workers, extended family, neighbors, etc. And I want to ask you this question. Do you realize how important the Lord looks at the relationships in your life? You may not think they're important, but they're important to him. I have met Christian people. I've met Christian ministers who say, "My relationship with the Lord is fine, everything's cool, but I'm not interested in people. I don't waste my time with people," and they literally have that kind of attitude. Well, God put us on this earth not to be lone rangers, not to be emotionally isolated, but he put us on earth so we could interact with people in your own home, and interact with people in your own extended family, and interact with people at school and at work and in your neighborhood. Because second only to your relationship to the Lord are the relationships you have otherwise. How do I know that? For the next two Sundays in our series out of 1 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul talks about his relationship with a church at a place called Thessalonica. In the passage we studied today, Paul compares himself as a mother to these people. And all the emotional stuff that's connected with having a mother-child relationship. Then next week he talks about, "But I also was like a father to you." And next week I'm going to talk to fathers about three things that the Apostle Paul says fathers do with their children that are vitally important. I don't think he meant it as a message to fathers. He just said, "This is how I was to the church at Thessalonica," but it happens to be a great lesson for fathers as well. Relationships, keeping it real. The Lord looks at not only your relationship to him, but your relationship with other people. Let's read it in 1 Thessalonians, the New Testament. This is the second message in this series called Prepped or Panic, The End. It's a book that deals with the last times. "You know, brothers, that our visit to you in the past was not a failure. We had previously suffered and had been insulted in Philippi, as you know, but with the help of our God, we dared to tell you his gospel in spite of strong opposition. For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We're not trying to please men, but God, who tests our hearts. You know we never used flattery." We're going to talk about flattery today in a way that maybe you've never thought about before. "You know we never used flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We were not looking for praise from men, not from you or anyone else." That verse alone will change somebody's life if you really believe that verse. "We were not looking for praise from men, not from you or anyone else. As apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you." But here it goes, the relationship as a mother. "But we were gentle. We were gentle among you, like a mother." In the Greek, it means nursing mother, caring for her little children. "We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us." Well, all this week, the second message in a series from the book of 1 Thessalonians. This week, we talk about how Paul compared himself to a nursing mother to the people at Thessalonica. Well, that conveys all kinds of emotional and mental images of a close relationship between parent and child. That's what we talk about this week from our series in 1 Thessalonians entitled Prepped or Panicked. God bless you as you listen. As apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but here it goes, the relationship as a mother. But we were gentle. We were gentle among you, like a mother. And in the Greek, it means nursing mother, caring for her little children. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Because you had become so dear to us. Because you had become so dear to us. This is a passage that simply lends itself to talking about verse by verse. It really does, and I want to talk to you that way today. Verse 1, you know that our visit to you was not a failure. You ever had anything in your life, in your past? It could be a career move. It could be a job experience. It could be an educational experience. It could be a relationship. It could be a friendship where you said, man, that was a total failure. One person told me there are certain years in their life where they look back at 1987. What a waste. What a failure. 1995, a failure in my life. 1999 was a failure in my life. And people will point to years and to places and to time periods in their life. And I want you to write this down in your notes. Nothing you do in the name of Christ is a failure. Would you listen to that again? Nothing you do in the name of Christ is a failure, even if you think it is. When you do it for Him, and you do it in His name. That could speak to somebody today, maybe some spiritual things you've called a failure, but nothing you do in the name of Christ is a failure. Verse 2 is really understated. In fact, I laughed out loud when I read it. I'll tell you why in a minute. We had previously suffered and been insulted in Philippi, as you know, but with the help of God, we dared to tell you His gospel in spite of strong opposition. Why did I laugh? You read the 16th chapter of Acts. They weren't insulted in Philippi, they were beaten. And they were arrested and put in prison. That's a little bit heavier than an insult. Paul's minimizing it here. He said, we were insulted in Philippi. But if somebody beats you and throws you into prison, that's more than an insult. And that's the famous story, remember, where there's the earthquake? And the gate of the prison opened, and the Philippian jailer thought for sure Paul and his companions were gone, but they weren't. And remember, the jailer says to Paul, what do we have to do to be saved? And they give their lives to Christ. And late in the night, it says the whole family, his whole household was baptized into Christ. It's a powerful story you can read later in the 16th chapter of Acts about their experience at Philippi. But he said this, we dared to tell you this gospel with the help of God. Question, what could you do with the help of God in your life in terms of relationships? You know, I hear people talk all the time and say, well, I just don't have what it takes to be this kind of father. I don't have what it takes to be this kind of husband, or that's just not me to be this kind of wife or mother. And it's not about what you are, it's about what Christ can do through you. With God's help, you can do things you would never do on your own. Remember that. With God's help as a husband, you can be a husband that you never thought you could be. Why? Because you're so smart? No, because God is so powerful. That's why. With God's help, you can do things in your life that you could never do on your own. Well, all this week on Cross Hope, the second message in a series from the book of 1 Thessalonians continues tomorrow on Sirius XM 131, the Family Talk Channel. God bless you. Listen to Cross Hope tomorrow. God looks at motives in your life because people do. Look at verse 3. For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. Just a side thought, God knows not only what you do, but He knows why you do it. I'll be honest here for a minute. Have you ever done anything with a wrong motive? Sure you have. So have I. Goodness wasn't behind it. You had an impure motive in what you did. You were seeking the praise of men. You were seeking the praise of women. You were seeking something that you were going to get out of the deal. And the Lord knows the motives for why we do anything. Let's talk about flattery in verse 5. You know we never used flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. What about flattery? You know, every time the Bible talks about flattery, it's always connected with deception. Warren Wiersbe says, a flatterer is a man or woman who manipulates rather than communicates. I love that. A flatterer is a man or woman who manipulates rather than communicates. Flattery is always connected with deception. I want to focus in on verses 7 and 8, where Paul describes his relationship to the church at Thessalonica with the people there. We were gentle among you. You know, that's interesting. I didn't even talk about this in the first two services. But if there's one character in our lives, one person that we should associate with gentleness, it should be your mother. Now, some of you have trouble with that because you had a mother who was anything but gentle. You had a mother who didn't display or manifest gentleness, but that's a biblical trait. A mother who shows her gentleness, her calmness, in the way she loves and comforts her children. And Paul says, that's how we were when we treated you at the church at Thessalonica. We were gentle among you like a mother caring for her little children, a nursing mother. One of the commentaries said this, if a mother is nursing a baby on a regular basis, she can't hand that baby off and say, okay, Charlie or Mary, you take care of that baby for me. You can't. You're nursing. There's a level of care and a level of time and a life of your life that's dedicated to taking care of that baby just because of the nature of the physical relationship of being a nursing mother. And that's the analogy Paul uses first. We were gentle, and we were like a nursing mother, and we loved you so much. I love this, what Paul says. We not only shared the gospel with you, but we shared our lives with you. Part of being a mother is sharing your life with your children. Part of being a father is the same thing. I don't think I'm breaking any confidences in telling this, and if I am, I apologize in advance. I told it in the first two services, but the first 6 weeks of the year, we had a study called The Journey Home. 43 different groups met in homes, in restaurants, different places, 43 groups of people. And I've heard this several times from different sources, so I'm not singling anybody out. The same story was repeated, where a number of people said to somebody who told me the story later themselves that there were cases in their group where maybe a couple came up and said, you know, in all honesty, we didn't get much out of this study. Didn't do a whole lot for us. But we did listen to several people tell their story, and I think we encouraged them. In another case, somebody said, well, we didn't get much out of it, but we were able to encourage some younger Christians. And all I said was, that's why God put you there. That's why you were in that group. It's not always about, what's this doing for me? What have you done for me lately? What has this group done for me? Sometimes God puts you in a situation, shock of ages, so that you could be ministering to other people. I can honestly tell you, in all my years in the ministry, I have never told a story about Marilyn Monroe. Never had a reason to talk about Marilyn Monroe. But I'm going to tell you one today. It's from Judd Wilhite's book. Judd is a minister in Las Vegas. I'll tell another story about him in a minute. He wrote a book called Pursued, and he quotes a book by Arthur Miller, who was one of the husbands of Marilyn Monroe. Arthur Miller wrote a book called Time Bends. It's one word, T-I-M-E-B-E-N-D-S. He talks of Marilyn's slow descent into dependence on barbiturates, depression, growing paranoia, and hostility. Arthur Miller said when he was married to Marilyn, he was afraid for his life. After a doctor was swayed to give her another shot of medication so she could sleep, Marilyn finally fell asleep at one particular time. And Miller says, as I watched her sleep, I found myself straining to imagine miracles. This is unbelievable. Arthur Miller saying this about Marilyn Monroe. What if Marilyn were to wake up and I was able to say to her, God loves you, Marilyn. God loves you, Marilyn. And she was able to believe it. What a difference it could make. And here's what he said. How I wished I still had my religion and Marilyn still had hers, but we didn't. How I wished I still had my religion and she had hers. Beneath the layers of hurt and addiction remained an awareness that God was the only one who could fill the void. You talk about a spiritual lesson from an unlikely situation, Marilyn Monroe. I just wish I could, when she woke up, I could say, Marilyn, God loves you. He really cares about you. That's what you need to hear. And that's what people you come in contact with need to hear from somebody who loves them, like Paul loved the people at Thessalonica. He said, we loved you so much, we not only just shared the gospel with you, we shared our lives with you. Here's a question I want to ask you. Who do you share your life with? That doesn't mean that every conversation that you have is like the Jerry Springer show. That's not what I mean. And we're just spewing out all the trash in our life. I'm not talking about that. But here's what I mean by that. It's when you tell somebody your story and somebody relates and says, I went through the same thing. You know what happens in a sermon? I've noticed before, the thing that connects with people when they hear a message and they hear an illustration, they hear a story, they're able to say, that's me. That's what I went through. That's what I'm going through. That's what my son's facing right now. That's called identification. Judd Wilhite, who quoted the story of Arthur Miller, tells about a woman in the church in Las Vegas. She's in her 80s. Her name is Judy. Judy, by her own admission, said, for 70 years, I've been trying to get God to love me. Get this career path. For 27 years, she was a nun. 27 years as a nun. Then she taught Christian school for a number of years. Then she got a job as a corrections officer in a women's prison. You talk about a career path, nun, Christian school teacher, corrections officer. Still struggling to find peace in her relationship with the Lord. Still trying to get God's approval. And Judd Wilhite said all that time she never really understood the grace of God until a few years ago when she came into our church and heard the simple message of the gospel. God gave Judy a gift, the gift of his radical grace in Jesus, and for the first time in her long journey, she entered into his rest. I can finally rest in the fact that I know I'm not good enough for God, but God is absolutely good enough for me. What a statement. Listen to that again. I can finally rest in the fact that I know I'm not good enough for God, but God is good enough for me. It's a gift I hope everyone will receive. I just hope it doesn't take you 70 years to figure it out. I read a powerful story this week by a palliative care specialist in the middle of Missouri. His name is Clay. He said, well, I'm just going to read his story to you. I am a cancer doctor and palliative care specialist. This is intriguing. Most of my patients die within days to a few weeks or a few months of meeting them. Imagine how depressing that would be on the surface. Most of my patients die within days to a few weeks or a few months after I meet them. But I believe I was put on this earth by God to do this work, and I find satisfaction in helping people who many feel cannot be helped. What I have learned in my life and my work is that the most important tool that a healthcare provider has is their spirit. And the best way to apply that tool is in the context of a caring relationship. He goes on to explain, as a doctor, I show care to these people who've got days, weeks, maybe months to live. And in the process, he said, of being a blessing to them, they bless me. In the process of trying to infuse something of life into their lives, they bless him. God always blesses the blessers, and most people don't get that. God blesses the blessers. When you're a blessing to other people, God blesses you. When you enrich the life of another person, God will do that in your life. A couple of lines out of Clay's talk here. I believe that connections between people, more so than connections between people and things, are a reflection of the connection between us and the Lord God Almighty. Whatever we leave here when we are gone, the biggest imprint is the positive influence we've had on others. And he says this, the connection between people is a stunning and awesome power. It's where God lives and where God breathes. This is what I believe in the most, that God works in terms of those interpersonal relationships with him and his patients. God's at work in that. What would happen if you really believed that God was at work in your relationship with your family? You have a conversation with their son or daughter. God, help me today. I'm going to talk to my son. I'm going to talk to my daughter. Lord, help me as I encourage my husband. I encourage my wife. Lord, help me as I minister to people around me at work. Would it make any difference? I think it would if you recognize the importance of relationship, because, again, second only to your relationship to the Lord. God the Father through the Son, your relationship to other people. Today, Paul says, like as a mother, a nursing mother, we loved you so much that we not only told you the gospel, we shared our lives with you. That's a model for somebody today, to keep it real. Share your life with the people that God has brought into your life. Let me say that again. Share your life with the people God has brought into your life. Next week, we're really going to speak to fathers in a powerful way. Three things that Paul says, this is what a father does. He didn't mean it as a lecture to fathers. This wasn't a seminar he was doing for fathers. He's just talking out of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It's a word from the Lord is what it is to fathers next week. God's interested in your relationships because he's interested in you. God is interested in your relationships because he cares about you and he cares about the people you have relationships with him. Decide today that your relationships with people matter to you because they matter to God. They matter to you because they matter to God, because everything about you matters to the Lord, including your relationship with other people he has created, other people he loves, other people that his son died for, just like his son died for you and for me. Let's pray together. Well, next week on Cross Hope, we're going to talk about the second part of this passage where the Apostle Paul compares himself to an earthly father in his relationship with the people of Thessalonica. Powerful stuff that you'll hear next week on Cross Hope on XM Sirius 131, the Family Talk Channel.
You have been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information or to listen to or download a copy of today's message, go to crosshope.org. That web address again is www.crosshope.org. Be sure to tune in each weekday at this same time to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. This program has been a production of Cross Hope Ministries.